Heightened security measures are in place in the Russian city of Volgograd after two twin bombings killed at least 34 people and injured dozens more earlier this week. More than 5,000 security forces are on duty in that city of 1 million. But Russian security services and the U.S. Olympic Committee have said that in the wake of these bombings, they will not be taking any extra measures to shore up security or increase the screening of attendees at the Sochi Games themselves. And as these bombings reveal, managing the security concerns at events like the Olympics is difficult and thankless, even under the most ideal conditions. And there are questions about the larger security issues in the Caucasus region of Russia and whether the Olympics will distract from potential dangers there. Kimberly Martin is political science professor at Barnard College and a Russia expert and joins me now. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, Tom.
No new security people in Sochi say after these bombings. Is that just rhetoric of confidence coming from the government and Olympic organizers? Do you buy it, or are they just trying to seem confident?
I don't think that the terrorist attacks were a surprise to anybody, because back in July, the figurehead of the Caucasus terrorist movement in Russia, Doku Umarov, called on his supporters to disrupt the Olympics, to disrupt what was happening in Sochi. And so I think the reason that they're not calling for stronger measures is that the strongest measures that they can possibly have are already in place. It's really important to Putin to have a success at Sochi, and he's been expecting this all along.
So it's fair then to interpret the Volgograd bombings as a message from the separatists: we can hit you.
No question. And what's really interesting is that the head of the Southern Federal District, where Volgograd is one of the major cities and also where Sochi is located, the head of that district, Vladimir Ustinov, is a close member of Putin's personal network. And we've talked before on this show about how Putin stays in power because of these network connections, and he's really good at balancing off people. And this particular individual is from the security sector. He's the former justice minister. He's the former chief prosecutor of Russia. He's written a book on terrorism. And now the terrorists are saying to him, we can hit you in your own backyard, in this important city in your region, and you can't do anything about it.
What does it mean to Putin and these networks to have a terror-free Games? And is that a realistic expectation?
You never know for sure what's going to happen at the Games. Obviously, we already had the terrible experience in 1972 at Munich about having a terrible security problem at the Games. But I think that these are likely to be as successful as they can possibly be. And what I'm most concerned about is not the Games themselves, but what comes afterwards. Because we're already seeing signs of a Russian nationalist response to these, to the terrorist attacks, that follows on a very pitched conflict that happened this past October in Moscow between people from the Caucasus and Central Asia and ethnic Russians. I'm afraid that that could spiral out of control.
Now, there have been some indications over the last year that at least Chechnya, the part of the conflict that we in America are most familiar with, has at least quieted down some. But as I understand it, the conflict has really spread to Dagestan and other Caucasus republics or other Caucasus parts of Russia. What is this pretend for, you know, the next year after the Games have been performed and are gone?
Well, the reason that Chechnya has been so successful is that the head of Chechnya, Ramzan Kadyrov, who is by all measures a warlord, he's somebody who cooperates very closely with Putin, but he's a brutal, violent man. And the reason that terrorism has disappeared in Chechnya is that he has just absolutely stamped it out by killing people, by imprisoning families if their family members have been accused of terrorist attacks. And what has happened is that it's no longer happening in Chechnya, but it's just been spread across the borders elsewhere in the North Caucasus. And you're right, Dagestan's the major part right now. So I think that the fear would be that the Russian state would now say, after Sochi, so after the attention of the international community is no longer on them, that they're going to do the same kind of similar brutal crackdown in Dagestan that they've done in Chechnya. And the sad thing is that it's not likely to be effective in the long run, because every place that you push, the people who are so angry and so filled with despair, the politics are just going to come out somewhere else, and it's not going to lead to a resolution of the real problems that these people face.
The two bombings this week in Volgograd have pointed up security concerns around the Sochi Winter Games. Kimberly Martin is here to say that the problems are much, much more broadly than that, and perhaps the biggest problem arises after the Games, after the medals have been awarded and everyone has gone home. Kimberly Martin, political science professor at Barnard College. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be back.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.